Well, we know ourselves how difficult it's been to get some supplies, in particular things like hand sanitizer. Well, think about our medical fraternity, because they are suffering exactly the same scenario, and also other personal protective equipment that you might hear them say, PPE, that's what that's all about. If they can't get these supplies, they can't provide a safe workplace for their own staff, let alone look after us. And that's where Hand Sanitizer Australia Project comes in. Rivka Hagen is part of that and joins me for breakfast this morning. Good morning to you, Rivka.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. And, you know, like everybody, I mean, we're all still reeling about all of this scenario that's been unfolding. And tragically, part of that, as I mentioned, is the shortage of very important products for people at the front line of our medical fraternity.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been involved in the last fortnight or so. So it's a very short period of time to mash together the producers of ethanol and chemical manufacturers who are able to turn that into a formulation that's going to be effective in dealing with coronavirus, and then get it out to the market. So our team is very heavily involved in the health industry, and we've just put some heads together to really get that supply chain happening. And we're really pleased to let the listeners know that that's happening now. So we're supplying health organisations, including general practices and specialists and allied health services, for a product that just simply wasn't available 2 weeks ago. So it's been a massive undertaking. And we're just so pleased that, you know, we've now got over 4,000 organisations participating in this. And I guess one of the pertinent points there, as you mentioned, is that the formulation of that hand sanitizer is super important. There are lots and lots of products out there, and distilleries also pumping out some ethanol and some products. But the formulation needs to be absolutely spot on, and that includes a high concentration of ethanol or alcohol in order to kill the COVID virus. So, that's what we've been doing.
And I know, I mean, straight up, the demand was extraordinary. I mean, I see just by the end of last week, while you distributed 840 bottles, there were 4,000 orders that you received. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is this is definitely a distribution issue for us as well. So we are shipping out at the moment both 5 and 20 litre bottles of hand sanitizer in a liquid format. And as a very flammable substance, you can imagine that provides some logistical challenges in getting that out to practices in metropolitan areas, rural and remote Australia as well. So it's definitely a big project, and certainly has its challenges, but the need is really great out there, and we need to continue to work to get it out there. And I guess one of our issues has been that this project has been totally unfunded by the federal government to date, and that's been one of the issues for us, in that the ethanol suppliers, you know, need some payment up front. The manufacturers have put their necks on the line to make this happen as well, and the practices are really putting their hands in their pocket, but they're not paying until we've got the product ready to ship to them. So that whole sort of supply chain is really challenged and bottlenecked, because there just hasn't been sufficient funding to allow us to really crank up production and get the product out there. And that's a very real challenge that we're dealing with at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, is there any way that the people listening to us this morning can help with that?
Look, probably the consumers out there can't help too directly. So at the moment, our focus is very much on supporting the health organisations to keep them functional throughout the crisis. But what I would urge the listeners to be very mindful of is that the hand sanitizer that they do use when they are out and about, or even within their own homes, have at least an 80% ethanol formulation. If it doesn't, I would really encourage them to just look at hand washing instead for sanitation. And I don't want the listeners to get a false sense of security that because they are using a nice gelled, nice smelling, coloured hand sanitizer, that they're actually being effective in dealing with the problem. That's probably one of the key messages for your listeners this morning.
Fantastic. Well, make sure that you're having a look at that label on your sanitizer and checking that it does have that amount of concentration. It's great to see that the likes of Bundaberg Rum and other other distillers about the place are putting their hand up and offering up ethanol that hopefully will help you do what you're doing. It is absolutely fantastic, and we applaud you for it. And to all of our frontline medical people, the job that you're doing is just absolutely extraordinary. And we're sorry that you're having to struggle to get basic needs products to do your job. But thankfully, we've got the likes of the Hand Sanitizer Australia product, a project, I should say, jumping up to help out. Rivka, thank you very much for letting us know about this, and thank you for what you're doing.
Very welcome. Thanks for your support.
Yes, well, we do that over some coffee and some breakfast, thanks to Milk and Honey Cafe. And joining me this morning in the cafe is producer Meryl. Good morning.
G'day, Lee.
And on the line from self-isolation at the moment is Toowoomba Regional Councillor, perhaps, Megan O'Hara Sullivan. Good morning to you.
Hello from down the socialisation line, far, far away.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. All right. Well, I hope you're going well wherever you're talking to us from this morning. We hope that sooner rather than later, we do get a final tally on what's happening there with the council votes. Perhaps what we should have been doing is, while everybody's in isolation, we should have been handing out all these voting. People could be counting from home, and we could have got this done at the end of last weekend. We're all so desperate for something to do.
Well, it's happening. The counting's happening. It's just the website failing us, unfortunately.
Yes.
So, it's all going as planned. So
all right.
I think we'll have a result fairly soon. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Obviously, right now, we're in a scenario where all of life is pretty much on hold. And that includes, unfortunately, for a state like Queensland, all of tourism. And that is going to impact our region as much as anywhere else. So now is a good time for us to start using the brain power while we've got a little bit more time to reflect and think about some of the things that we can do when it's time to bounce back again, some of the things that we could be putting our energies and efforts into. Producer Meryl, I know that you've had a bit of a think about this and perhaps what we could be doing to bounce back again once it happens, because it will inevitably.
It will inevitably, and hopefully for the better. I hope we end up out of this as nicer, better, more caring people. However, we were discussing yesterday, Lee, if Toowoomba could have anything and money was no object.
Yeah.
So let's think big here.
Yep.
And you know what I would love to see is like a sanctuary in the middle of our city that looks after all our dogs that don't have homes and all our people that don't have homes. And so you can go visit the sanctuary just to pat the dogs
and
or
the people?
Play with the dogs, pat the people if that's your thing. But basically it means no dogs ever have to get put down and they've always got a shelter, and same with the homeless people who could then look after dogs.
Right, okay.
And I don't know, it's a tourist attraction because you can come and pat the dogs, but we're also caring for our most vulnerable. And attached to that, I would like to see a museum sort of like Goma, just for a bit of a cultural element.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. the Gallery of Modern Art is Goma, so perhaps that might be a thing. What do you think about a homeless person / dog zoo in the middle of the CBD? Councillor?
I think it's a magnanimous gesture, Meryl. I can't see it's going to fly, but you must have some sort of mental reading of what I was going to say. I would like to see something like Mona in Hobart, the Museum of Old and New Art, and and privately funded like that one is too. So it's not using government resources.
But, that's right.
I mean, that is an incredible attraction and that has turned the tourism industry in Tasmania around, really. But, you know, of course, it's all private funding. But I think what we need to focus on here is things with our environment. So that's our uniqueness here in this region is the environment. So we have to look at our walking trails and our ability to take advantage of the climate. You know, we're within a couple of hours of Brisbane, obviously, and be able to, that's our uniqueness is our climate, because we don't have a beach, we don't have something like that, but we have a beautiful environment. So I think, you know, concentrating on the experience that people can have when they come to this region.
Definitely, and that's why I'd like to see us doing something with, you know, the escarpment, obviously there's a lot of talk about mountain biking, and I'm more than happy for that to be progressed, because I think people would come from all over the place to mountain bike, and there's a big big fraternity of it in area. I mean, even in Brisbane, I've got mates there in Brisbane who are massive on it, and they travel all over the place normally. And most of the time, they're going to places like Tasmania and whatever, and they're like, oh, if you had something like that up there, we'd go there, spend some time, spend some money. So that would be great. And then, you know, something along the lines of what they've done at the Blue Mountains, that sort of thing, where you've got the cable car or something like that going down the escarpment and utilising that very unique part of our region.
The dogs would love the cable car.
Well, the dogs would. We could have homeless people doing the tickets and things, and then they could all go back to the sanctuary at night time. So it's a wonderful thought you've got.
You're such a socialist, Meryl. I love it. It's such a lovely thought.
Oh, thank goodness we're not live. Sorry, what? Now, we've all been staying at home for a very long time, quite obviously, and it means that we have replaced the term time poor with self-isolation. No longer are we quite as time poor. Meryl, I shudder to think, but I'll ask anyway, what have you perhaps been doing to learn perhaps a new skill or, you know, something that you hadn't done previously that you're now getting time to do?
I'm one of those people whose life hasn't changed so much because I'm still just sitting at home a lot, drinking too much, like I always was. But I found, okay, I've got a little more time on my hands. What can I do? And I found myself starting going through social media, correcting people's grammar mistakes.
Realised
that probably wasn't very friendly. So
you've been doing that for 15 years.
Well, I have, but it was starting to become a bit of an obsession. So now what I'm doing is I'm looking for new ways to be social. And I think this is great that with apps like House Party app or even Skype and FaceTime, I can now play Pictionary with my friends, which I've done, have drinks with my friend. Tomorrow night we're having a wine and painting class with my friends and we're going to drink wine, which is, you know, normal
something
part of the course,
yes.
But we're all going to paint a picture as well at the same time. Wow. So we've all gone out and bought our canvases and our paints and our brushes. I'm a garbage artist. I'm about as good at painting as I am at cooking, but I just think this will be fun. So it's for me, it's about using this time to be inventive and creative, to be social.
Ah, fantastic, Megan.
Oh, you know it's not going to be as noble as that,
don't
you?
No, me too. Don't worry about that.
Apart from the drinking part, I suppose, you know, looking at your watch and thinking, is it 5 o'clock? Oh, well, maybe the rules are all gone out the window. We can do whatever. No, I've been really busy, so with the signs and everything like that.
Yes.
But just the last couple of days, I've got all my boys home. So, you know, they'll work for beer, but... Well, we've got all the gardening jobs done. But I did a few years ago, well, this is many years ago before I got married, I broke up with a fellow and I was so sad that I made this doona cover and I embroidered the whole doona cover with, you know, roses and different things. And I often look at
that
doona
cover. I thought you were going to say images of his face.
A face, yes. No, his eyes cut out.
Eyes,
yes.
Exactly.
No, right, roses and things.
And every time I look at that doona cover, it reminds me of that time. And so I often think, okay, look, I've got to do something that is going to be a reminder that I can have of this weird time. But it's lovely because all the boys are home and we can spend all this time together that we never really would have spent. It's like a gift, you know. At this stage, I'm still in the euphoric heaven of having them around, except going to the supermarket and spending a lot of money on groceries every time I have to go there.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You're just lucky they live within state borders, Megan. I don't have that luxury.
Well, that's right. Your children are in isolation, and yes, that's right, and unable to get to them. Yes, well, for me, it is along the technology lines. I've got two kids, obviously 13 and 10, and they are smack bang in the middle of the technology storm. Mm. And so they are encouraging me to get involved and learn about these things that I previously had gone, I haven't got time for that. I've got enough, just even trying to keep up with Facebook's enough for me. But now, yes, they've introduced me to Zoom, which has been fun, and TikTok, and the stuff. Afternoon, my daughter and I are going to create a TikTok video together, and she's going to teach me how we do that with my son filming. So
good luck
that'll
to
be
her, because I tried to teach you WhatsApp this week, and that didn't end
that,
well.
That took a long time for me to get into that.
I did a TikTok WhatsApp with my little nephew over Christmas, and I did the Old Town Road one, and I kept calling it little Naz, and he's going, "It's Naz," and I just couldn't get the, you know, the let alone the technology. changing clothes, jumping up and all of that.
That's what I'll be doing this afternoon. That and, yes, countless tea parties and those sorts of things with my daughter.
It's a moment in time, isn't it? It's a lovely snapshot in time.
And you're right, because with technology we can capture that, this moment in time, and be able to look back on it, you know, in 10 and 20 years' time, and when they're having their 21st and getting married, and say, look, this was during that time that everybody still refers to, and this is what we did. So, yes, make the most of it, use it as best you can, and we will all get through it. We are all in this together.
Nobody is in a different scenario. Do we have to keep saying that? That's one of those phrases. It's like, stay in your bubble, and we're all in this together. Like, everybody says it.
Go pat a dog. It makes it all much more bearable.
And that's right. That's right. Go and see the homeless dog in peace and person sanctuary in the middle of town. It'll cheer you up. Thank you both very much for being a part of the Triple M Breakfast Cafe. And a big thanks to Milk and Honey, Ann Street in Toowoomba. Megan O'Hara Sullivan, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you. It was lovely to have a bit of talk.
That's exactly right. That's the big thing, isn't it? Yes. And thank you, producer Merrill.
Thank you, Lee. And bye, Megan.
It's 21 past 8.
For me, I can't say a bad word about it. It's been fascinating. I got to meet a beautiful girl, a bunch of really, really cool people, and it's taught me a lot about myself as well in terms of, you know, patience, resilience and several other qualities and attributes that have really been put to the test throughout the process. So all in all, it's been a really good experience for me. Some others, not so much, but I think you're going to be pretty tough to be put through the ringer in this environment, that's for sure.
Hey, Ivan, it's been like 5,736 episodes now that we've watched of Maths this season. Are you relieved it's over?
Look, I've actually been enjoying watching mine and Alex's story play out, to be quite frank. So there's a bit of enjoyment, a bit of sadness. It's nice to be able to go back to normal life.
I know last night at the dinner party you said you don't want to put a label on what you and Alex have, but tell me, are you self-isolating together?
Well, as you guys know, we filmed a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of a time delay between filming and what you're watching on television, and I like to live in TV time. So good try with the spoiler, but let's watch our story play out.
Okay, so the dinner party. Once again, another dinner party that shook Australia right up. You definitely came out Team Mikey. Are you still Team Mikey several months on?
I'll be honest with you guys, I'm not Team anybody. I'm Team Truth. Mikey's obviously my good friend from the show. I'll go so far as to say my best mate, so I'm obviously going to have his best interests at heart. But you know, all I did was tell the truth, to be quite honest. And, you know, myself and Stacey have been mates in the past, and she's, since all this coming out, took a different standpoint and stance on her opinions towards me and been quite vocal and aggressive about it. All I'm doing is speaking a truth that I know, you know. So
when it comes to the truth, I mean, a guy with another story from another, former contestant who says, oh, you know, we get pushed into all of these things and producers tell us what to say and it's half scripted and all of that sort of thing. What would you say to that?
Like I said to you at the start of this interview, you've got to be very, very thick-skinned and strong-willed to be in this environment. There is an element of, I guess, manipulated questioning and interrogation from all avenues when you're in the experiment. However, the words come out of your mouth aren't forced out of your mouth. You've got your own vocal box and your own mind to control. So some of the audio I've noticed has been chopped and changed, put into different positions that, you know, if you watch, I paid pretty close attention to Mikey before he came to the dinner party yesterday, and like the way it pauses and then grabs audio from a different spot, but it's all words that have come out of his mouth at different, you know, stages of the experiment and the environment.
Yeah. As Hayley would say, you've just got to own it. Hey, I've just got one last question for you, Ivan.
Sure.
What's next? Are we going to see you on Love Island?
Oh, definitely not Love Island. I wouldn't say no to more opportunities, but I don't think I'd put myself in that basket. I'm not going to go and hook up with 10 people on Australian television, especially when I'm a married man. That's not really my style anyway.
Thank you for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. And thank you for the entertainment over the last several weeks that we've been watching.
My absolute pleasure. Hopefully I can chuck a little bit more in on that final episode, but we'll have to stay tuned for that. And I appreciate
it. You know how to keep us guessing.
You cannot be serious!
Yes, I'm serious. And life in isolation is about to get even more frustrating thanks to a devilish Japanese invention. If you've already watched all episodes of Tiger King, binged everything on Disney Plus, and reorganized your entire house Marie Kondo style, you may want to attempt this devilishly difficult jigsaw puzzle. The problem is, exactly like everyone's social calendar right now, this 2,000-piece puzzle is completely and utterly blank. The puzzle has been made by a Japanese board game company called Beverly and is called Pure Hell. On the box, it bears warnings such as, "The Great King of Hell has arrived, and please do not buy this if you're a beginner." Incidentally, it's literally a blank canvas. There's no indication of what goes where. It's just a white sheet that's been backed and cut up into 2,000 separate and individual pieces. Yes, just what we need right now. Something to create more anxiety than that one friend who has to correct every grammatical error you ever make while posting on Facebook. And things have really gone to the dogs in Washington, where officers were led on a 160-kilometer-an-hour chase on Sunday, eventually using spike strips to stop the vehicle. What they discovered had them all in shock. At the wheel was a pit bull. Swing your partner round and round, and then the night is going down. No, not him, a real pit bull. According to State Trooper Heather Axtman, the man in the car told police he was attempting to teach his dog how to drive. Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that either. But some witnesses were quite impressed.
He was a better driver than a lot of them I've seen. I thought they should give the dog a license to drive.
Sounds like somebody's been doing a bit of self-isolating. Anyway, the man was charged with reckless endangerment, hit and run, driving under the influence, and rank stupidity.
You cannot be serious!